karma cha vishvatman. In the Sanskrit, the conjunction can come after the words. So you say like apples, oranges, bananas, peaches, and. So here it's talking about janma karma cha, your birth and activities, vishvatman, master of the universe, aja, unborn, aja sha kartur, not doing anything, atmanaha, soul, tiryan, nirsheshu yadhashu, taratyanta vidambanam. Of course, it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work, though you are inactive, that you take birth, though you are the vital force, and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, and sages. So I guess you go back to the purport. So well, this of course is Kunti's prayers, and this is first canto, chapter 8, so 1-8, and they start with text number 1-8, so it's 1.8.18. And of course, very wonderful prayers, very wonderful access to bhakti yoga. By chanting them, contemplating them, trying to understand them. And honestly, really the Sanskrit is so useful. The prophets trying to, you know, put the whole Sanskrit language and the Sanskrit culture into something we can understand in English language and English culture, which is really difficult, you know. Yeah. And of course, she's talking all about this. I guess let's do that. Go back to the general perspective first before we get into the verse. Okay. So I'm going to go here. I'm looking at on my screen. I turned off the other thing. Okay. So of course, she starts off. Krishna's leaving. And she wants to catch Krishna. So she says, Namashe Purusham Tvadyam. Ishtaram prakate param, namashe purusham tvadyam. I offer my obeisances unto you, original person, purusha, purusha adyam, namashe purusham tvadyam, ishtaram prakate param, supreme controller of the prakriti. Namashe purusham tvadyam, ishtaram prakate param, alaksham sarvabhutanam. Lakshanam, qualities. And so Kunti is not saying, hey, Gopal, or something. She's right away identifying Krishna as the Purusha, the original Purusha, and as the master of the material nature. So kind of seems that her relationship with Krishna is very much filled with respect and awe and veneration. It's a little difficult to enter into the consciousness of this time. It's 5,000 years ago, at these big sacrifices and events, you can actually see the demigods, and they appear, and the common people can see them. So I guess it's like going to a big rock show or something like that, with a big screen television behind it and all this kind of stuff, so on. So then you can see these things, and you understand a little bit how it works, the technology. So Krishna's right in front of her, and who is he? He's the Adi Purusha, the God of gods. And so her first two prayers, she's talking about how we can't experience him with our senses. And even though he's directly manifest, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. Okay, two things. Original Purusha. And she doesn't say controller of the material nature, but she says unaffected, probably translates it as unaffected. This is interesting, because the point that comes up often, the prophet says the controller must be unaffected by the subject. He actually is a controller, he's not really affected by it. So here, supreme controller is being translated as unaffected. You are existing both within and without everything. That you are invisible to all. Well, that's a big mystery. If somebody's in the house, maybe we don't see him. Or if we're in the house and he's outside, we don't see him. but he's both inside the house and outside the house, then how can we not see him? Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor, covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. So she's a very sophisticated understanding of Maya and the Purusha and things like that. Then who can see you? Text 20, she says, the Paramahamsa, the great Sankhya philosophers, great, yogis who do austerities and don't touch their senses, and they see, well, I'm still alive. They don't touch the sense objects, I'm still alive. They let their mind go free with all of its blissful thoughts, I'm still alive. So all these great people who do these austerities, sacrificing their prestige, their possessions, their senses, Krishna comes to enliven them with bhakti yoga. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service under the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? So who can see Krishna? Who can know Krishna? So she's kind of disqualifying herself because she's not an advanced transcendentalist. And so text 21, then she says, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. And here's all the ways that she can know Krishna. Krishna's her nephew. Krishna's a cute little cowherd boy. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. He's Devaki's son. So in all the ways, even though she's presenting herself as a lady, these are natural ways for a lady's concentration and meditation to go there. And then she also goes directly to his body. Nama Pankaja Nabaya, Nama Pankaja Netraya, Nama She Purushang. Yeah, that's how it goes exactly. But she starts with his waist, I think. Nama Pankaja Nabaya. Yeah. And goes up to his eyes, face, around like that. It's a very beautiful description of Krishna's. His waist is like a lotus, navel is like a lotus flower. Nama Pankaja Nabaya, Nama Pankaja Amaline, with the garland of lotus flowers. Nama Pankaja Netraya, and his eyes are like lotus flowers. Nama Pankaja Angraye. And also then finally his feet are also like lotus flowers. Yeah. And Prabhupada says that Kunti would understand that Krishna, because he's playing the part of her nephew, as she started talking, started with his lotus feet, he'd be a little embarrassed how my aunt is trying to touch my feet. So she starts at his waist, and everything is there in the proper order, waist, garland, eyes, feet, like that, and around. So glorifying Krishna as being in front of her, as being invisible by her affection, by her appreciation of his aesthetic qualities. Yeah, okay. But then she goes ahead and talks about the specific pastimes that they've participated in. Oh, Hrishikesh, master of the senses, which our neighbor is there. Oh, Hrishikesh, master of the senses and lord of lords, you have released your mother Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kongs, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. So what are those dangers? Next verse. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, and from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. Now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashvatthama. So it's kind of like a little Krishna book. Yeah. Poison cake, Bhima, great fire, house of shellac, cannibals, Bakasura when they're in the forest, that one. And then vicious assembly, Draupadi was being desnuded, sufferings during exile in the forest, and finally in the battle of Kurukshetra. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashvatthama, Ashvatthama. Yeah. So it's all trying to remember Krishna. Yeah. And then she says, I wish that those calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated birth and death. So still her consciousness is liberation so far. Yeah, the birth and death. And she's appreciating that you see Krishna, you know, through his pastimes. Now, she goes on amplifying the same idea because she wants to see Krishna. He can't be seen even though he's within and without. He can't be seen as Sri Great Paramahamsa. But he comes in this lila form as a cousin, as a nephew, as a son, you know, as a little boy. You know? So the lila pastimes are important. So she's specifically remembering the ones that were so intense, and that's when she remembered Krishna the most. So 26 says, my Lord, your Lordship can be easily approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, higher education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feelings. So it's nice to memorize them, no? Janma, Ishwarya, Shruta, Sridhir. These four things. Janma, taking birth in a respectable family. Ishwarya, it has wealth. Shruta, education, having heard nice, being able to hear nicely. And Sridhir, good looks. So if you get all these four things for them, if you're really good looking, born in a nice family, you got money, and you got a good education, a true education, it's going to be very hard to become a devotee like that. You know? So, okay. Oh my God, okay. Hang on 1 second. I'll be right back. Don't go away. We're safe from cannibals. We're safe from this and that. And now the thing is also if we can be saved from being beautiful and intelligent and what else? Rich. Yeah. So then she goes on 27 with the same topic, right? Yeah. My obeisances are to you who are the property of the materially impoverished, and you have nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature. So this is the theme she discussed before, that Krishna is Ishvara Prakriti Param. You are self-satisfied, okay? Now, if you're not dealing with the modes of material nature and trying to get satisfaction from passion, you know, or ignorance, then he has to be self-satisfied. Otherwise, he'd be in the modes. And therefore, you are the most gentle because he doesn't want anything and are the master of the monists. I don't understand that exactly. My Lord, 28, I consider your Lordship to be eternal time. My goodness, okay. Before she was considering him to be her nephew. And now she considers him to be eternal time. The supreme controller, without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. So now she takes up this theme about how Krishna, he's self-satisfied, he gives his mercy to everyone, and it goes on in 29, O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any envy, any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. So this is exactly the same thing she was talking about before in the previous verse, that we're going to remember Krishna through his pastimes, we're going to get his association through his pastimes. And Kunti was so fortunate that she was bereft of prestige, fame, position with her sons, who she's very attached to. So she had like a good chance to meditate on Krishna before, you know, in the difficult situation with her family, which is a natural situation for a lady. Yeah? And with those pastimes, you know, it appears that Krishna is taking the side of the Pandavas, or enemy of these persons, or this or that. He's involved in actually the action and reaction of this world. But she's making this point again that you're the time factor. You control all these things. You're Supreme Lord. You have no desires in this world. Therefore, you're self-satisfied. You know? So, in today's verse, 30, oh, of course, it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work, though you are inactive, and that you take birth, though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, sages, aquatics, and hippies. Verily, this is bewildering. And then the actual purport then, this perspective here, the Prabhupada says, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are not only bewildering. Okay, we got that. We get the bewildering. So you look at something you see as bewildering. I don't understand this, you know. But even worse than that, it says, but also apparently contradictory. So it's bad enough I don't understand something now, but now even worse than that is any understanding I have is the exact opposite of what's happening. Because Krishna appears to take birth, but doesn't take birth. Oh, there was a problem. AVG was scanning my computer while all this was happening. Aha! So maybe that's what was happening. The antivirus program was causing the communication problems. Okay, so anyway, Krishna appears to take birth, all these kind of things like that, you know, but actually he doesn't take birth, so it's supposed to speak of bewildering. It's even what's the word, contradictory. In other words, Prabhupada says, Krishna's pastimes are inconceivable to the limited thinking power of the human being. The Lord is the all-prevailing super soul of all existence. The Lord is the all-prevailing super soul of all existence. Yet he appears in the form of a boar amongst the animals, in the form of a human being as Rama, Krishna, etc. In the form of a rishi, like a Narayan, and in the form of an aquatic, like a fish. Yet it is said that he is unborn, and he has nothing to do. That's contradictory. In the Shruti mantra, it is said that the Supreme Brahman has nothing to do, and no one is equal to or greater than him. Equal to or greater than him. He has manifold energies, and everything is performed by him perfectly, by automatic knowledge, strength, and activities. Of course, this is in the PowerPoint show. We dug it up as ago. Svabhavika jnana bala kriya cha parasya shaktir vividaiva shriyate svabhavika jnana bala kriya cha. And I think it was from the Svetasvatara Upanishad. But of course, it's something that Prabhupada and the Acharyas quote again and again. It's very nice for us to memorize it, and we can also quote it. Just like now, I'm bringing it from memory. Parashya Shaktir Dividhai Vishriyate Swabhavika Jnanabala Kriyacha. So yeah, he has diverse energies, many energies, Swabhavika, by his own effort.
Can I interrupt you just for a moment?
Oh, for a long time, yeah. You can take over the class, actually.
I got your PowerPoint, and I found in the PowerPoint where you are in the purport right now. So,
okay.
I hope that helps.
Yeah. I turned off the start meeting. I'm just dealing with Skype. But if you can show it and follow along.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty, isn't it?
Yours are always beautiful.
Yeah. It's amazing. Everybody has an ability. I mean, it's just like you cannot not have. You know, actually, Shiva Jwara is fighting with a Narayana Jwara in the Krishna book, and then finally Shiva Jwara is almost frozen to death, so he surrenders to Krishna, and he says that, you know, that goodness is supreme. he says there has to be a little bit of goodness in everything. Yeah? Because he said if there wasn't, then it couldn't even exist. So at least we can appreciate people for the fact that they exist. I want to thank you for your existence. So this is the Parashya Shakti Vividaya Shriyate. So many energies Krishna has like that. He's such a fun, active person. And of course, they're personified as Shri and Boo and Lalita and Vishaka and Sudevi and Rangadevi, all your different Shaktis. And also friends and parents and everything else too. You know? And so everything is done for him just by automatic knowledge and knowledge, strength, and activity. All these statements prove without any question the Lord's activities, form, and deeds are all inconceivable to our limited thinking power. And because he is inconceivably powerful, everything is possible in him. Therefore, no one can calculate him exactly. Every action of the Lord is bewildering to the common man. He cannot be understood by the Vedic knowledge, but he can be easily understood by the pure devotees, because they have an intimately related to him. Dvaitam achyutam anadi manantarupam adhyam purana purusham navayogunam cha bhedeshu durlabham adurlabham atmabhaktau govindamadipurusham tamaham bhajamim. The devotees therefore know that although he appears amongst the animals, he is not an animal. I remember Prabhupada said there's a world of difference between Lord Varaha and the ordinary village hog. such a contrast. But still he appears in that form. He is not an animal, nor a man, nor a rishi, nor a fish. He is eternally the Supreme Lord in all circumstances. So the last slide that we have a picture of Srila Prabhupada with his arm up, and he's kind of like contemplating things. And if you click again, then Krishna and Balaram, a very cute picture up here. And also it's very interesting because if you look at Prabhupada's wrist, on his arm are two wristwatches. Prabhupada has two wristwatches on. And kind of joking, speculating, that's because he lives in two worlds. He has to see what time it is in Goloka, and he has to see what time it is in New York, like that. But this is a fact. Probably saying that we're actually reading for our Bhakti Bhai Baba program now. We're on the fourth canto and the activities of Maharaj Prithu. And he's transcendental to the influence of the material modes of nature, like that. And probably this is a very nice purport how a devotee is in the body. The body goes through its changes, lamentation, hunger, thirst, illusion, old age, disease, and death. But the devotee, he sees what it's saying here. He sees how all this is a part of a wonderful plan. That probably says old age is a good friend for a devotee, like that, As you get older, you start getting arthritis in your hands, in your thigh, teeth start becoming loose and decaying, and pulled out. Your short-term memory, goes. If you're lucky, you remember that you have a bad memory, so you write things down like that. So variety of things. This is pushing you to make this analysis. Well, who is me? Of course, an ordinary person is absorbing these things is terrifying. And they try to become stupid by television and junk food and other worse things, and forget all these things. Yeah? But devotee, it's just reinforcing the philosophy. You know, exactly what they said would happen. And so therefore, he's good becoming detached, detached from short-term memory, detached from having all of his teeth. Yeah. And eventually it's good. You know, it could be good. It's very useful because we're going to change bodies. So if we're not attached to these things, we'll be able to change them in the best possible fashion like that. Not that we'll have to leave half our luggage behind. You know, we're ready. We're going to have to leave this boat, go another boat, jump across. So put everything that's important in a backpack and not have it spaced all over the place so I can't take it all with me like that, you know? Yeah. So also one time, too, I may have mentioned we were in Boise, Idaho, the temple there. A little area in front of the temple with a parking area and a little nice little kind of garden strip with some redwood trees. So I was walking back and forth chanting. Then all the local kids, our kids, all running up, maybe five of them, and little kids and bigger ones, maybe as big as like 7 years old or something. And the little kids were kind of crying, and they'd found one bird. And half his beak was gone, front half, and his wings were all like, you know, decayed, disease, and he was just barely breathing, the eyes closed. And was dying, you know. And so they were like, you know, experiencing death, and then little kids were like, crying a little bit and stuff, and just emotionally very agitated. And the bigger kids weren't really well also, you know. So they ran to me. Samaji, yeah. So, okay, so I said, okay, put it here. So you put it down on the knife's, you know, ground under the redwood tree, and you cut some little rocks and put it around it, like that. And then we all started chanting Hare Krishna. And it would go to the point where we stopped breathing, we thought maybe left his body, and we'd take a quick gasp again, and we'd come back, you know. And this went on for maybe not too long, maybe 5-10 minutes, maybe. And then, yeah, finally it did leave his body, you know. So it's very, very, you know, graphic experience for these children growing up of seeing somebody leaving their body. Lakshman told me there's one Peruvian poet who says, I don't want to sound proud, but actually I have no fear of dying outside under the trees with the sun shining and the breeze blowing. Yeah, and it's a fact. You think like that out there and, you know, have your body properly cleansed by somebody and then there is the sun shining and everything else. But in a hospital with no sealed windows, nasty food, sterilized atmosphere, sterilized clothes. And naturally, it's just terrifying. But the first step in devotionalization is pantheism. And then we appreciate that Krishna can't hide himself. And no matter what people tell us and everything else, if we actually get out with a little bit of a service attitude and to see nature and contemplate it, then Krishna can't hide himself. You know? We'll see that there's some element, there's some control. You know? Yeah. And of course, different levels, impersonal control, you know, personal control but no emotion. Yeah. On and on like that. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So this is kind of, you know, our understanding, these prayers by Srimati Kunti Devi. Very nice. You see the development of her consciousness. Truly enter in this to take it. See, what I was doing here, like, is kind of going through like a jnana approach, you know, I'm just trying to analyze it, which is so useful to put us in proper perspective. But next level is to be able to actually take it as one whole object, you know, to be able to contemplate her consciousness, you know? And of course she's going ahead here. So, hold on, our phone's going to ring 1 second here. Okay, there's ringing. So what's moving it ahead, you know? At this point she seems to be very, very much absorbed in contemplating Krishna, forgetting what's going on right around her and everything else. And so as she's saying these prayers, then Krishna must be reciprocating with smiling and nodding his head and, you know, and in different ways, like this was very subtle indications, he's acting as Vibhava, you know, stimulus, then very much, most likely her prayers are progressing because of her association with Krishna, like that. Maybe she's also looking at Arjuna furtively, beside Krishna, you know, yeah, So it's a whole process of entering into her perspective, her bhava, you know, her consciousness, and then try and appreciate this, you know. And, you know, it's very elevated, you know. She's not, she'll say in the next verses, we go on here, click the next verse here. Okay. Gopi adadye twai kritagashi dhammatava yate dashashu kalana kali kalilanjana sambra maksham. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you were you committed an offense. And your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes. And you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. The sight is bewildering to me. So she's bewildered by Krishna's pastimes, and especially this pastime, you know, because this is such an incredible thing. Krishna, the Vishvatma, the Purusham Param, the Prakriti Param, controller, you know, and then Yashoda, who she's very close relationship, exactly how it works out, but even so many family relationships with the Brajabasis. And so she appreciates Yashoda, you know, but loves her quite dearly, you know. But she still is a cowherd lady, you know, and so on. She doesn't have all these big responsibilities of running the empire and dealing with all these diplomatic situations like that, you know. So she must have a little bit of, what's the word? Probably says that only the a few people understood who Krishna really was. So some of the Yadus and the dancers of Raja. So at the same time, too, Kunti is understanding, who is Yashoda? Cowherd lady, and why is Krishna terrified? Yeah. So her consciousness is at a certain level, and by hearing and chanting like this and the purports, taking those to heart, and then we can just chant the verses with the purports automatically popping up as we go through, we can gradually enter into this bhava. And then we'll yam yam vapi smaram bhava. Yeah. Then any situation will get the same result. Same result as Kunti Devi, like that. So very nice prayers as it goes on like this. Let me go back to the, I'll change my view back here just to the translations. Okay, we're at the text number. Text number 30, okay. Yeah. So 31, 32. So see, now after see, all this pastime, Lila Smarna, attempts at Lila Smarnam, and what is the background necessary for Lila Smarnam, you know? Then she'll start talking about here, she said, 32. Some say the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings. Others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya Hills. Others say that since both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken birth as your son. Undoubtedly you are unborn, but you take your birth for the welfare, for their welfare, and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. Others say that the world being overburdened like a boat at sea is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, and so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. And others say that you have appeared to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, and worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls, suffering from the pangs, might take advantage and gain liberation. So she's there, and she's saying, well, probably the whole purpose of her prayers is to how to catch Krishna. She's trying to figure out how to do that. So maybe that we can catch you if we act like pious kings and you'll come. Maybe we can catch you, you know, because in a situation when a Brahma has to call you. And she said, maybe we can catch you if we, you know, if we consider the process of hearing and chanting. So, kind of speculating, and Krishna's kind of going, I come for that reason. Yeah, I come for that reason too. But when it comes to Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, then he just kind of like blushes or something, and oops. And then Kunti knows she's got him. That's it. You know, wherever is a good kirtan, you know, wherever is nice, absorption in hearing Prabhupada's books and chanting and talking like that, good hearing and chanting and then contemplating like that, that Krishna just can't get away. He can't escape from that. Yeah? Okay? And then she goes on and says, those who continuously hear and chant and the future transcendental activities or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. Okay. So now she's got him. Okay. And now she's going to complain about, you know, you're leaving, you know, our kingdom is everything was glorious, and you're going to go, you know, everything's flourishing because of your mercy. You know? 41. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe. These prayers are so beautiful in Sanskrit, just to chant them. O Lord of the universe, O soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, yeah, please therefore sever my ties, yeah, of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Yeah. Because now she has a problem, because now she knows how to catch Krishna, and she can keep him from going back to Dwarka, so her sons will be protected. But the problem is that her brother, Vasudev, her brother Vasudev and Devaki and everybody, they won't have Krishna. So now she has a new problem. So Sapani, she says, oh, this, but you decide all these things. But I just cannot balance all these things and judge them and work them out. And it's just becoming too complicated for my little brain. So please, you just work it all out. And then let me just be attached to you. Yeah. And finally, she goes back to more about, find the last verse of this. Yeah, okay. Very last verse. This is very nice Sanskrit. Shri Krishna, Krishna Sakha, Vrishni Rishna Bhavani Bhrug, Rajanya Vangsa Dahanapavarga Virya, Govinda Godrija Surarti Haravatara, Yudeshvara Akilo, Guru Bhagavan Namaste. O Krishna, but which Krishna? O friend of Arjuna. She knows Arjuna. Maybe that's the most intense spiritual rasa she has with her son, like that with Arjuna. And Arjuna knows Krishna in rasa. So which Krishna? The one who comes for Brahma, the one who comes for the pious king, the one who saves people who are being defeated by cannibals? No. And this is kind of her conclusion. But the final conclusion, she said, the best place for me to focus on you and keep attached to is through my son, Arjuna. Everything else going on, okay. But that's how I can be attached to you the best, is developing my relationship with Arjuna. Yeah. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief amongst the descendants of Vrishni, okay? You are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. God. So the Kunti ADP. Yeah. So it's kind of our little comprehension here. It's 1232. And such nice prayers. And, you know, find some, the whole thing. Finding your relationship to Prabhupada's books, to me, is finding your relationship to Prabhupada's lotus feet. I was in the Samadhi in Vrindavan, beautiful Murti of Prabhupada, and it was so big. And I was going to look at Prabhupada's lotus feet on the Murti, but I couldn't see them because there was something obstructing my vision. And what was it? There was Prabhupada's book, Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, sitting on a little book stand, you know, obstructing my vision of his lotus feet. And so I was thinking, my goodness, maybe that's a message from God, that the best way to approach the Prabhupada's lotus feet is through his books. I think it's a fact. You know, I've heard comments like that. Right? So yeah, then so many aspects to his lotus feet, and how many books? You know, there's the one, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's a wonderful book. Maybe five different conversations. Five different great persons. It's a wonderful book to distribute to professors and people like that. It's, practically speaking, a contemporary biography. You can break it into little pieces like that, you know, and send the Prabhupada's just transcendental there. You know? You can't, like Prabhupada, no? He's a manifestation of this, and of course the deities. You cannot comprehend them with your speculative powers. You just have to surrender to them and just try and take them on their terms. You know, Krishna is the aggressor. Krishna is the most beautiful. You know, so how am I going to, if he overwhelms me, what can I do? He can overwhelm me as death, but he can also overwhelm me as the most beautiful. And of course, yeah, I mean, my little independence to a large degree becomes flooded. But as it becomes more and more intense, we wake up more and more, then it really almost never becomes flooded. My devotional attitude towards Krishna always stays intense, and no matter how much he, you know, expands his energies, I can always keep my position in terms of making a contribution. So this is going from Shantaras to Dasyaras. And of course, the fullest manifestation is the gopis, you know, who are, they even overwhelm Krishna's energies with their love. How much they want to serve Krishna actually drowns Krishna's potency at times like that. You know? So it's kind of our ideas, our thoughts. Anybody else have any comments, thoughts?
Are you just still there? Maharaj. All right, now I want to everybody. All right. So, does anyone have any questions or comments?
Dhanvad Maharaj.
Oh my God, same to you, more of it.
Hi, Bo.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Nice class. I just wanted, the purport was very interesting. And Queen Kunti is resolving something that's contradictory, inconceivable, and Prabhupada saying, as jivas, we don't have the capacity to, the unlimited thinking ability to comprehend this. But it's, and even Brahma and Indra were bewildered by the form of Gopal in Vrindavan being the full potency of Godhead. And we've heard that in the purport also, Krishna and Ram, they're the same, but they're different simultaneously. So one who knows God, such as Queen Kunti, knows that the impersonal conception and the personal conception are simultaneously present in everything, and that there is no contradiction. So it just, what I was going to add was Lord Chaitanya's achintya beda abeda tattva, beda meaning difference, abeda meaning oneness. It's the only resolution to this, and it's a brilliant integration of the previous dualist view of Madhvacharya, the Dvaita commentary of Madhvacharya, which distinguishes the Lord from the Jiva, and the qualified monism of Vishishta Dvaita by Ramanujacharya, but at the same time soundly rejects the absolute monism of Advaita by Shankaracharya. So it's, I just thought I'd add that.
Yes, it's amazing. Yeah, wow. I guess there's also, I don't know, is there, I guess there's impersonalism in Goloka. Krishna is simultaneously present and personally and personally in the Loka. What about that?
Irmala Didi, I don't know where she got this, but she said the other day something that struck me. You cannot know God without loving Him, and you can't love God without knowing Him.
Yeah, because the gopis are the loving potency, and so Krishna expands his qualities. Prabhupada says there's always this competition, right? In the Krishna book, always this competition between Krishna's jnana shakti and his bhakti shakti. Mm-hmm. Because Krishna will expand his potencies and will know him, but then expand it more. And so there's always a competition between Krishna's knowableness and his lovableness, and it keeps on going back and forth, more and more and more and more and more and more. Let me do one thing here. Let me try and go to start meeting now.
Can you hear us okay this way?
We hear you.
I'm going to turn off Skype now.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Skype.
Okay.
So you can hear us okay on the start meeting?
Oh, it's coming in loud and clear. Really?
Aha! That was probably the criminal then. It was that darned AVG computer scanning program. Yeah, that was what was going on. Because it was scanning the whole computer in the background, and that was messing everything up, I think. Okay.
You know what Srila Shinamari said once? He said, suspicion means suspension, so your computer suspended you.
Yeah. I have Yahoo, you know, and I don't know what it is, but after about maybe like 7, 8, 10, 15, 12, 12 letters, it won't send a letter. And it says a possible something or other, a suspicious activity has been detected on your computer, and we won't send any more letters. So I have to wait like 24 hours or something, 12 hours before I can send any more letters. And I can't figure out what I'm doing that's suspicious. But the Urmila said yesterday, we all think we're good people, but you know, I think that's it. What do I do? So anyway, it's to me very beautiful prayers, and she is a chinta beta beta tapa. Her prayers are some of that too, because she's Vishvatma. Because Krishna is the time factor, you know, but also he's the son of Yashoda. Yeah? The two things are there simultaneously. Wow. Okay, so I guess that's everything here. We had a wonderful day of, you know, dancing with the robots and then appreciating Mother Kunti's prayers. You know, and we're still here in Tennessee, and we'll be here, I guess, next week too. For us, these classes are going to be very nice. You're hearing everybody talking and stuff like that. So, I guess I want to thank everybody very much.
Mara, do you have time for another question?
Well, I have a couple more. Yeah, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm asking this on behalf of Anu. She actually had two questions. One is that it seems like women, they're their natural position is to be of service and to be more like loving. I think I can find the actual question. That's more or less what it was. Whereas men are a little bit more reserved, so it's easier for them. For women, seems like to take up Krishna consciousness rather than men. They're a little more like analytical. Trying to find her original question, and wanted to get your advice on how to deal with that.
A lot of things is that, I guess the ultimate thing is we aren't men. I remember one time one class, it was a university class, you know, and went to the class, and then one girl challenged and she, you know, questioned, she raised her hand and she said, "Is it true that women are exploited in your movement?" Like that, you know. And so spontaneously I responded, I said, "Well, are you a woman?" And she said, "Yes," you know. And I said, "Or are you a person?" And that got her. She said, "Oh my God," he's got out cooled me like that. Because yeah, we're men, we're women, we're children, we're dogs, we're cats, you know. Dogs can also have bhakti, you know, to Lord Chaitanya, you know, and so many things, but beyond that, really we're people. You know, and so you start getting into that, you know, what kind of woman, what kind of man, you know. And so there are all kinds of, you know, Joan of Arc was the youngest person, I guess in the West, maybe in India also, Joan of Arc was the youngest person, man or woman, to ever lead a national army, you know. So the youngest military commander of a national army was a girl, you know. Okay, so don't think that you're limited, you know, by this and that. So there are all kinds of things. Again, there are some men with breasts and there's some women with mustaches. Yeah. So I think one of the most important thing, especially in this time, is just to really figure out what kind of person you are. And what kind of person you are really comes down to, like, you know, your spiritual consciousness, your subtle body, you know, and then finally to that kind of stuff. So, but beyond that, okay, it's a secondary thing. Like, you know, we can cross the street whether the light's red, green, or blue. Just look, if it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, there's no traffic, we're going to the temple, we don't wait and just walk across, you know. But that other times, then we just obey the traffic light. Okay, it's red, blue, or green. When I stop, I go. Okay, I got a male body, a female body, a child's body, a sannyasi's body, a vaishya's body. Okay. And we find out, and then we just understand how the thing works, you know. So I think, generally speaking, and Prabhupada uses this term again and again, he says women as a class, you know, sannyasis as a class. Okay. In a sense, we're not talking about individuals, but it's a class, and I tend to fall into my class categories in many ways. Okay, so men as a class tend to be more intellectual, and women as a class tend to be more emotional. Okay, and sentimental also means emotional. Yeah? Now, both of these things, if they're material, can be horrible. You know, men, when they get caught on the mental platform, can do ghastly things that women could never do, because they're just absorbing their concept of, you know, the Third Reich and all this kind of stuff. They just get absorbed in this stuff. And simultaneously, women, carried away by their emotions, like, you know, they can do ghastly things that a man wouldn't do because he has a little bit of intellectual, you know, thing on it, you know, some guys, yeah. So either case, but I think in general that's the idea, is that ladies tend to be approach things more from an emotional perspective, which nothing wrong with that, and men tend to approach it more from analytical. And that's kind of about it. There's so many details and so on, you know. And so that's why even the prayers by Queen Kunti, the instructions to what's her name, Kapila Devahuti. They're very analytical prayers, you know. And she says the same thing. I'm a less intelligent lady. How can I understand all this? So he gives her analysis of what is this world, the elements, then he analyzes the different phases of the life cycle, you know. And it's very, it's so sophisticated that most of us men, we have a hard time keeping together all the analysis. So she, you know, she was a less intelligent woman, my God, you know, what are we, you know. Yeah. So, but then he kind of finishes off and he says, Bamini. He says, okay, we're talking all about this analysis and this stuff. But you're really accustomed to think of me as your little boy and as your son. So just go ahead with that. That's perfect. But keep a little perspective by keeping a little bit of analytical knowledge in there, you know, and breaking it down like that. So if one has an emotional attachment to Krishna, you know, then aesthetic attachment to Krishna, no problem. If that's the predominant attachment, is through how the fragrances smell and the decorations and the flowers, great. You know, but keep a little analytical perspective on it. On the other hand, if you've got a very good analytical philosophy of the whole philosophy of the consciousness, the Bhakti Rasamrita, the Sindhu, Vida, Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Alambana, where's the one? Alambana? The other one now. Yeah. And you can see it going on in the world around you. Okay, you know. What's happening here? Yeah, okay. Then just go ahead with it, you know. But keep a little sentiment there too. So that's my only final comment: is you have to figure out what kind of person you are as a person, and then as a secondary thing, see what kind of body you got, and then just use that in Krishna's service, you know, as it is. And don't try too much to try and be one or the other. They're both fine.
Thank you. Hey, Paul. I just have a short question. What does Balarama mean?
What does Balarama mean?
Balaram, you know, yeah.
Bala means strength, and Rama means happiness or pleasure. So it means that by the strength of the spiritual master, we can obtain the transcendental pleasure of spiritual life. Balarama.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, I also loved your class.
Oh, okay. Thank you. For sentimental reasons or intellectual reasons?
Both.
So, Maharaj, thank you for your patience.
Despite all the things. Yeah. My God. Maya has unlimited number of tricks. Now Maya has discovered computers. I wonder if we have computers in every universe, in every Kali Yuga. Probably not. We don't have them. Okay. Well, thank you all very much. We're going to get back to publishing. We publish our newsletter. I put an advertisement in here. We have a website, JAYARAMA, JayaRama.us, United States. It's a very simple place, and we kind of keep it active with our information. And every 2 weeks, we publish a newsletter, which has our contact information and stuff. And we're doing a lot of Sankirtan that some people might like and might want to participate. Okay, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Mara.
Thank you, Maharaj.
All glories to Srila
Prabhupada. Thank you, Maharaj.
This is a reminder for everybody. If you want to come back tonight, Mother Urmila is having part two of her seminar on a practical application of Bhakti Yoga. So please attend that at 5:30 tonight. Thank you, Prabhu. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you. Hare Krishna.